Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to Bravo Happy Hour. I'm your host, Megan O'Donnell, and today's episode is a little bit of Vanderpump Rules, potentially some Potomac, and let's just be real, it's all about Vanderpump Rules. That's all anybody could talk about. I feel like everybody in my life was glowing this week. A lot of people were active in group chats. I feel like I bonded with new coworkers in a way that I never really get to bond with people unless Bravo is involved. I did find out a couple people don't watch Bravo and don't watch Vanderpump Rules, which now is making me think differently of them. So I've actually probably convinced about three people to start watching. And I actually think I saw on Peacock's Instagram that they made like a viewer's guide to Vanderpump Rules, which is kind of offensive because if you're going to start, you shouldn't start on episode 2, season 3. You need to be starting at episode 1, season 1, and just go through all 10 seasons. I would say it would take about 2 weeks if you're a loyal person, and that is with a 40-hour work week job. There's really no excuse. So if you can't be a full-time fan, then don't even bother. But I digress. So I would say, just an update, this isn't a Vanderpump Rules podcast. There will be more things going on this show that we will be talking about, but when in Rome, this is a time to really overdo it, really obsess over the show, and everybody else is doing it, so why not just join the bandwagon? I will say, a lot of people listened to last week's episode, so thank you. And as I say on this show, we only do word-of-mouth marketing. I've decided that I'm no longer going to even attempt to do social media because I don't care. You know, I feel like I just want to be a podcaster. God forbid I want to be just one thing. I don't need to be a multi-hyphenate podcaster, social media, meme maker. No. I just have a podcast and that is what I do. If you want to hear or chat with me, you could shoot me an email because it's 2003. So Bravo Happy Hour Pod is where you can reach me. I actually respond. I actually can handle that. Looking at DMs is, can be a cesspool of people's bullshit. You know, it could be really positive and 99.9% are, but that 0.1% will, you know, drive me to insanity. So I try not to look too deep into social media and the DMs. So that's just a little housekeeping update. This episode's mainly going to be about VPR, as I said. But I actually have a great guest for next week. We're going to be talking Summer House in the new Bravo Happy Hour 2.0. I'm going to kind of let guests tell me what they want to talk about. And then I just, you know, mold my show around that. So next week's guest is one of my closest friends, an absolute pleasure of a human being. You guys will truly be in love with her. And she's in the podcast industry in itself. I keep trying to tell her to start a show. I also want to do a show with her maybe one day, but let's see, maybe this will kick something off. This will kick something off between the two of us and you'll see something. But she's a fabulous friend. We're going to talk about Summer House, obviously VPR because that's all anybody could speak of, and then a little Southern hospitality. We were going to do a solo Southern hospitality recap, but I decided why not just include all the other messy shows while we're at it because, again, no rules. Last week was the explosive, shocking news story that came out that Tom Sandoval and Ariana Maddox were breaking up due to Tom's infidelity with Raquel Leviss. As we all know, we mentioned last week, Raquel's real name is Rachel, so I'm going to be interchangeably calling her both, depending on how I feel. Is giving Hilaria Baldwin, Hillary, Hilaria, both of these women hijacking like Latina names to make themselves seem more interesting, and both of them being complete and utter frauds. So since the last episode came out, the emergency episode on Saturday, put out an episode early. You guys are welcome. welcome. I didn't even edit that show, so pardon me if I said something really stupid. I don't even remember what I said. When I podcast, it's like I go into a fugue state and I completely black out. I don't even remember, which could also just be like marijuana doing its taking its natural course on my body. Anyways, we had the big scandal. It's been about a week since it's happened. A week and 2 days, if we're being specific. Again, Sunday, March 12th, 4:16 p.m. Eastern. We had the breakup heard around the world. Now this week is basically Tom Sandoval on the Most Extras apology tour. Their 2023 tour dates are all around Instagram. We've got a lot of apologies. I guess we'll start with Tom. He initially put out a statement on Instagram. Nothing screams, I'm not really that sorry, like a iPhone notes apology. Sandy's first one that he posted 7 days ago said, "Hey, I fully understand your anger and disappointment toward me, but please leave Schwartz and Sandy, Schwartz, my friends, my family out of the situation. Schwartz specifically found out about this very recently, and most definitely did not condone of my actions. This was a very personal thing. Also, Schwartz and Sandy's might have my name on it, but there are also 3 other partners and 20 employees who blah, 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 need a job, da, da, da. Maybe you should have thought of this before you blew up your life, but that's besides the point." He said, "I'm so sorry to my partners, Greg, Brett, and Schwartz, and our employees who have to suffer for my actions. I'll be taking a step back and taking a hiatus out of respect for my employees, partners, da, da, da. I need some time to address everything else." So this was a big to-do because he didn't even say Ariana's name. He was exclusively talking to his husband, Schwartz, and their business partners because he is trying to protect the bag. However, I saw online that Schwartz and Sandy's is popping, which is not surprising. They are filming what we assume to be the end of season 10. I can't imagine they're stretching this out into season 11. They will stretch it out, but I think the scenes that they're capturing now will definitely be at the end of season 10. Mind you, they haven't even filmed the reunion, so this is going to be so, so juicy. He addresses the business and the fact that there are other people involved, which is great. Yeah, of course. I think the business will be fine for the time being, but like everything else, you know, time will tell if this bar actually lasts long after the show is over and the hype of going there is over. Because right now there's a lot of rubberneckers going to all of these different clubs and bars that people know that they might be filming there. So God knows TomTom is packed, Schwartz and Sandy's packed. And you know what? It's, again, not really surprising. Like I said, I think Tom Sandoval will come out somewhat unscathed out of this whole thing. There will be, you know, seasons and seasons of him like going back and looking inward and trying to fix himself a la Will Smith after the slap heard around the world. You know, there's always going to be like an ashram in India or something. He's going to go on an ayahuasca trip. He's going to see God. Something is going to change in Sandoval and he's going to be this new man. Oh my God. And everyone's going to be like, you know what? He made a mistake, but it's okay when he makes mistakes. Rachel is done forever. No one will ever respect her again, which is sexism at its finest. So then a couple days later, Sandoval comes out and says, "I want to first and foremost apologize to everything I've hurt. Most of all, I want to apologize to Ariana. I made mistakes. I was selfish. I made reckless decisions that hurt someone I love. No one deserves to feel that pain. Blah, blah, blah. I can only imagine how devastating this has been for Ariana and everyone around us. I really feel horrible about that. My biggest regret is that I dishonored Ariana. I've never meant to disappoint so many people, including our loved ones and family." So he isn't denying any of this. He's openly saying, yeah, this is true. Yeah, this has been something that we've been up to, and that's just the situation at hand. He goes, "My love for Ariana was stronger than any camera could have ever captured. Some of our best times were never filmed. The same goes for one of our biggest struggles. I wish things happened in a different order and that our relationship was not severely tarnished. Da, da, da. I owed Ariana better. I am beyond sad that it ended the way it did. The choices I made hurt so many people. I acted a way that clashes with who and how I want to be. I will continue to reflect and work on myself. I have work to do. I always have and I always will. Tom." All right. Well, that's BS too. I don't even believe it. Once Tom picked, you know, a monster truck smashing event over Ariana's birthday, she should have known then that he was a piece of shit. So those are Tom Sandoval's, which also I'm looking here, his Instagram, I think he changed his name to Thomas Sandoval. So this might be an attempt to now maybe mature himself. He's, you know, in his 40s. Now he's Thomas. He's got this 20-something girlfriend. He's going to start new. Like I said, it's going to be the ayahuasca. That's going to really do him in. So we have Tom's statements. We've seen pictures of Tom looking downtrodden, leaving the house with, you know, lamps and sweatbands and whatever stupid shit he's taking with him. I will say I stooped to a level that I didn't know I could stoop to by listening to Kristen Doty's podcast, which I don't even remember the name of it. It's like Love, Loss, and whatever else. Like, it's a really dumb name. Kristen Doty podcast. Sex, love, and whatever else matters. Okay, it doesn't really roll off the tongue, but that's okay. I also like Katie's podcast called You're Gonna Love Me with Katie Maloney, which is like a threat. Katie, loving you isn't necessarily like people's first instinct, but I guess maybe we are gonna love you. We'll see. On Kristen's podcast, she talked about how she and all the other girls have rallied with Ariana to protect her from Tom, and that I guess they were all hanging out at the house and Tom came home. And again, he's 50-50 owners of that house with Ariana. As much as it might seem brazen for him to storm into the home after what he's done, it's still his home. He has to get his stuff. He's got to get a toothbrush and maybe like his trumpet or, you know, a sparkly blazer or something. But she mentioned that he was there. He came in and everybody was kind of like, wow, I can't believe you have the balls to show up here. I guess Kristen goes upstairs and inserts herself into the whole situation. And we've gotten confirmation that Kristen's actually shooting for season 10. So Kristen is back. I feel like the show needs her to handle this because for so many years, she was deemed crazy and all of these things. And again, Kristen's no saint. She was complicit in cheating with Jax and probably other men in her relationship with Tom, but people really harped on the fact that she was a liar. She was making all this stuff up. Tom is this great guy when she, you know, really probably made mistakes herself, but Tom was also making mistakes too, and he wasn't innocent in the demise of their relationship. So I miss the energy. So excited that she's back, and I'm excited she's getting some money again because she got roped into Stassi's shenanigans, obviously. She was let go due to the whole Faith situation and them calling the cops on Faith and going like above and beyond to like get this girl like to lose her veteran benefits, not only like that, but to be arrested. And I mean, they did some pretty disgusting things. But with Kristen, in my opinion, it was a little bit different. She, you know, hadn't had like multiple instances of like being deeply insensitive to other people, and Stassi kind of was just like consistently digging herself in a hole and like truly not learning from like multiple scandals. So here we are, she is back. And I feel like it's funny because now people are like, why did these people get laid off again? Why are they not on the show? Oh yeah, Jax is an asshole, but like what else did he do? And I was actually trying to think about it earlier, but I think it was just like stuff with Billy Lee. There was a transphobic moment. However, I feel like everybody on that cast was completely not even transphobic, just like didn't like Billy Lee, like outside of being trans, like she was annoying. So it's okay to not like someone. Yeah, I think you're allowed to not like someone even if they're trans. Like, just because they're trans doesn't mean I'm not gonna consider you, you know, like annoying or an asshole. You're annoying and an asshole like the rest of us. So Jax actually supposedly is going on Watch What Happens Live, so we should see that. Obviously Andy is erect at all of this drama. He loved the Tom, so I'm wondering how this is gonna progress, especially because him and Sandy have their St. Louis connection. So I don't know, are they homies? Did Andy send him a text? What's the latest? We're gonna hear all about this at the reunion, so I think we just have to be a little bit patient. So back to what I was saying, so Kristen said she talked to him, basically saying, you know, like, you should leave, you shouldn't be here. What else did Kristen say? She confirmed the story that Tom dropped his phone. Ariana got her hands on it and noticed the video of Tom and Raquel masturbating, which I feel like this is like a common theme in Vanderpump Rules. Remember Stassi like had that video of her fingering herself or something? And what was that guy's name? Oh my God. Oh, I can't even remember. I'm going to get yelled at for not remembering this, but oh, I can't remember. Obviously it's not Patrick, but damn it, I can't remember. Stassi Schroeder sex tape. I can't even find anywhere. I can't find his name anywhere. But anyways, I think he was like trying to sell it for $900 and Vanderpump was like, I'll just buy it. Like, what's $900? Come on. So lots of masturbating happening, lots of masturbation content. So I guess they did find it. And from there, obviously, Ariana addressed it with him. So now, as we were saying, this is the apology tour. I feel like Raquel is going to join the band soon, but she'll be, you know, shaking her hips and playing the tambourine, and not in like a cool chic way like Brian Jonestown Massacre, if anybody's a fan of that very great random band. But there's a tambourine player in that, and he's pretty badass. So she won't be like that tambourine player, but she'll definitely be she'll be looking for a job. Even though I will say, I hope she's filming and I hope she's doing as much as she can, because this is when people really care what she has to say. After all is said and done, do we really think that Tom and Raquel will stay together? I feel like at this point they somewhat have to, based on the way that their relationship has started. They're also probably being so ostracized by other people in their lives that they have to rely on one another. Raquel did come out with a statement. She said, "I want to apologize for my actions and choices to Ariana, my friends, and the fans that are so invested in our relationship. There's no excuse. I am not a victim. I must own my actions. I regret hurting Ariana. The time since this has come to light, I'm reflecting on my choices, speaking to my counselor, and I'm learning things about myself, such as my patterns of codependency and addiction to being and feeling loved. I've sought emotional validation through intimate connection that are not healthy, blah, 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 affecting others. I'm taking steps back to understand my behavior and make healthier choices. Although I chose to be on a reality show, accepting the good and the bad that comes with it, beyond my own actions, I've been physically assaulted, lost friendships, received death threats, hate emails, addition to my having my privacy violated. I've begun counseling to end my unhealthy behavioral cycle, learn to set stronger emotional boundaries, and learn to protect my mental health. I don't expect sympathy, understanding, or forgiveness. Right now, I must focus on my own health and well-being. As I strive to be a better person moving forward, I will prioritize my mental health and learn from my mistakes." You know what? The more I was thinking about it, I think Raquel probably has an interesting sense of self. We saw last season, as she was going through her full engagement storyline, that her mother couldn't raise her. And so then she was raised by her aunt, who then she calls her mother. And then her father was in her life, but obviously not with the mother. And so, you know, she might have a desire to feel loved. And as she was saying, she, you know, has found herself having an addiction to being and feeling loved. And so when she gets that attention, she might relish in it, kind of regardless of if it's healthy or not. I think we saw it on this past episode of Vanderpump, where Garcelle's really handsome son, Oliver, was waiting on the girls and at Vanderpump's restaurant in Vegas. And we kind of see the competition between Lala and Raquel about how Lala thought he was hot. And then Raquel immediately like needs to pounce and needs to then take his attention, whatnot. We obviously see them making out at the end, which was very hot. Also, I love that Lala was like, if there was a competition, I would win. It, like, it was a competition and you lost. And she said, quote, "Lala always wins." I'm like, not really. You had to like have intimate relations with Randall for a very long time, for years. And then he did you so dirty. I don't believe that's winning, but she's winning because she's...
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
On the other side of it, and she no longer has to deal with that gross monster. But I'm wondering if Raquel just probably like seeks clear validation, and someone like James, who is also a love addict and struggles, where we could kind of see him moving so fast with Allie after 3 weeks telling her he loved her. He also has addiction issues. So you could see he probably, you know, moved his alcohol addiction into kind of a love addiction and was so love bomby to Raquel, where they weren't really in love. He said they weren't really intimate. So their relationship was kind of bizarre in the first place. She obviously got on the show with him. This episode, James's hot mess mother mentions that Raquel's cousin brought her to Sur, where he was DJing, and that's where they met. And then the two of them like instantly connected, instantly became an item, and then, you know, worked together for years. But on the basis of what? On the basis of like Raquel being this like angel who came into his life to save him from his issues. But we also see Lala make a comment to Raquel, Christina, Kelly, and I think it was Katie. And the four of them were chatting, and Lala made a comment to Raquel saying, you know, I'm glad I don't have a man. I wouldn't trust you with my man alone. And Raquel makes some backhanded comment to her saying, well, thank God you don't have a man then. So it's clear that the women have started picking up on behavioral trends of Raquel since she's been single. Maybe she should have just settled down with Peter. None of this would have happened. I wonder if honestly Peter was involved with the Sandoval thing, because Tom and Peter used to be homies. Remember they did that horrible short film together all those years ago? Whatever happened to that? Did it win any kind of awards? I gotta wonder, where like Tom Sandoval was like on the rooftop and they were shooting in front of a green screen. Oh my God. Why does my brain remember things like this and not like facts about war or like history or science, truly anything else? Yeah, maybe Peter was in on it too. I actually think he was on some podcast this week talking about everything, but I could stoop so low to listen to Kristen and Stassi's podcast. Listening to Peter on an interview is where I have to draw a line. So then Raquel also followed up with another statement saying, besides the indefensible circumstances surrounding our relationship, my feelings for Tom have always been sincere and born out of a loving friendship. Knowing how many people we hurt, I need to understand my choices and learn to make better ones. I need to take care of my health, work on self-growth, and take some time to be okay alone. I care for Tom and I don't want to label anything or predict what lies ahead. Right now, I need to heal. This is basically saying, like, I heard you, we shouldn't have done what we're doing, but we are going to be together. We're not labeling anything because we are in love, and you guys will hate us if we are starting to call each other boyfriend and girlfriend or whatever. The more I've thought about this situation, the more I think Tom is probably was definitely leading this relationship on. I get the feeling that they started hooking up or whatever happened, you know, however they, you know, had their first kiss or had their first kind of intimate moment. I think from there, Tom was probably confiding in Raquel that him and Ariana were in a bad place. They're breaking up. They've talked about this. They're just trying to figure out what to do. We're just going to finish this season and then we'll figure it out. And, you know, we're not even together and we're basically separated. And the things that like a cheater would say to the other woman to keep them interested, to keep them wanting more, to keep them believing that they're going to leave their wife for you or leave their partner of 10 years for you. And as the other woman, you know, you're believing it and you're wanting it. And he's so hyper emotional. I can imagine it being with him and he's crying in her arms about his relationship with Ariana failing. And then she's looking at him like this wounded man who needs love and support. And we saw she liked being that person for James. So why wouldn't she like being that person for Sandoval? So as much as I do want to think that, I feel like Tom probably manipulated the situation to make his relationship status seem different, which gave Raquel maybe the confidence to continue this relationship. One fun Easter egg that internet sleuths have been noticing is that they've both been wearing lightning bolt necklaces. We see the lightning bolt and the Tom Tom logo. And so maybe that was some sort of kind of inside joke that the two of them have been in on together. I gotta say, lightning bolts are a little 2008, but who am I to judge? I will say one interesting thing that people on the internet have noticed was a picture that she posted on November 15th, 2022. You know us here at Bravo Happy Hour. We love a date. We love a time. And Raquel posts a beautiful photo of herself. Looks like she's in the outfit from the reunion from the day that they were taking the cast pictures. And she goes, not sure what to caption this, so here's three emojis. There is a cloud with a big lightning ball coming down, a crystal ball, and a purple emoji that shows a silhouette of a woman, like on a women's bathroom sign, which people are now saying that that means Tom's future girlfriend. They have the lightning bolt there. They have the crystal ball, which is what they want, looking towards the future, and then a girl. So that might be some speculation, but I think that's a fun thing to speculate on because clearly the two of them were having these inside moments where they were secretly discussing their relationship in ways that viewers wouldn't pick up on. But now, obviously, the sleuths are out. They are looking. They are interested in what's going on. So, again, they're together. They're going to be together. They've got nobody else at this point. So they're going to ride this wave for as long as possible. Again, like I was saying last episode, I kind of think Ariana's happy. She got to ditch this, you know, narcissist. She comes out on top. Now she could do no wrong. Now we're going to see that sandwich shop open up. Again, I'm going to get a pastrami on rye. They might not even have pastrami. It's Los Angeles and there's Cantor's Deli. If you're going to need a pastrami on rye, you go there. You're going to get like a microgreens veggie salad on a whole wheat grain, which actually makes me want to go through the menu at Swartz and Sandy's. I went on their website and they don't have the menu posted on their site, which is never a good sign. And their website is just bizarrely organized and looks like it was from about 2005. They do have a dress code, which is business casual, which is hilarious considering both Toms have never had a real job where business casual would be a dress code they would have to adhere by. So let's go through the menu a little bit just because that's fun. Again, I've been hearing the restaurant is packed lately. So if you're in the Los Angeles area looking to dine in a strip mall, maybe you could try some of these delicious salad options. I mean, they've got a Little Gem salad. It wouldn't be 2023 if there wasn't a Little Gem salad on the menu, which I do love a Little Gem. I've got to give it to you. A tahini Caesar. Tahini is very big right now as well. I'm seeing lots of, I would order this. The roasted golden beet carpaccio. Again, they have to make like a lot of different vegetarian options because this is California after all. Let's see. Appetizer section. They have a lobster corn dog, which I've never heard of before. Homemade lobster sausage. A sweet corn batter with scallions served with a curry yellow mustard. Now, that's intriguing. I don't know if I would order that for $18, but I would take a bite if someone was offering it to me. There's the ahi tartare. We saw that on the show. I would order that. Juicy Lucy sliders. This is made from Lucy Lucy apple juices meat. That's fucked up and disgusting. There's a quiche if you're going for a classic French energy. Entrees. Pan jus roasted chicken. That sounds good. This menu is basically like an elevated diner. They have everything that someone could want. A steak frites, a roasted chicken, a butternut squash, salmon tofu tiki. Oh my God, this is so funny. Oh, I don't know who wrote this menu, but it's a salmon tofu tiki marsala. So first we have to go into the tiki marsala. It's tikka masala, not marsala. So I think there's a little confusion here about marsala versus masala. You get two salmon skewers, one tofu skewer, spiced yogurt, masala roasted carrots, flatbread, and heirloom cherry tomatoes. Oh, that's funny. Salmon tiki marsala. How can my untrained eye notice this? But, you know, the Tom Sandoval, Tom Schwartz, and the three other business partners who we have heard a lot about haven't picked up on that. And let's see. Anything else? They've got some broccolini. Oh, I do like the name of this dessert, a brown butter strawberry Schwartz cake, which I think is very cute. Clever. And honestly, I'm honestly shocked. They don't even have any Vanderpump Rosé or Vanderpump branded wines. And this is a good way to foresee what happens. And we saw this last episode how Lisa and Ken were basically saying they can cash out of their ownership of TomTom and take that money to then buy back the shares of Schwartz and Sandy's from Greg or whatever his name is. We don't know if that's going to happen thus far, but because I don't see Vanderpump Rosé on their liquor menu, that tells me that Ken and Lisa have not put a dime towards this restaurant, or else there would be Vanderpump Rosé. Speaking of, I'm actually going to Vegas Memorial Day weekend. I have a reservation for that Sunday, Vanderpump Gardens. So if you guys are going to be in Vegas by any chance, let me know. Again, via email. Not on DM, but maybe we could do a little meetup, a highly overpriced meetup. Maybe after that, I'll do an episode. Well, I'll definitely be doing an episode about the entire experience, soup to nuts. Will I'm not actually staying there, so I'm not going to get a room key. I was going to say, is Vanderpump actually on the room key, or was that just a prop made? We need answers, people. Of course, Lala hasn't been able to stop talking about what's going on. She has started to create merch called Send It to Daryl, which is, I guess, the name of Raquel's lawyer, who's supposedly pressing charges towards Sheena, who beat her up. Raquel has been posting all these pictures of black eyes. You know, we don't know what's true. Nobody's willing to talk about it. Stassi on her podcast was tight-lipped about the situation, understandably so, if it's a physical situation. Regardless of what people do, I don't think anybody should be getting clocked in the face. Definitely not, you know, these young women who have literally everything in their life to lose. So maybe you shouldn't be laying hands on people. Yeah, so Lala is now saying send it to Daryl, which is funny because remember like a couple years ago when 50 Cent was blowing up Randall and Lala's spot for owing the money, and it was like money by Monday, $1 million by Monday, and now send it to Daryl's her new thing, or it's like girl, your situation's never really been better. Speaking of, I bet Randall Emmett, who else? Lenny Hochstein. And I think those are the two main guys right now who are in deep shit. They've never been happier about a scandal in their life because finally the fire is off of them and everybody's talking about Tom Sandoval. So those two are just thanking the Lord that Tom Sandoval so selfishly cheated on Ariana and that they can get off scot-free. I do wonder because I remember, do you guys remember when Lala was always talking about like Marty Scorsese and Al Pacino? Marty loves Vanderpump Rules. So I wonder what Scorsese has to say about this. I bet he and his wife, you know, have also probably been listening to this podcast, just, you know, waiting for updates, Scandoval updates. So yeah, there are pictures of Raquel with a black eye. I don't really want to speculate on that because even if it wasn't Sheena, someone had to be giving her a black eye. So I don't know. I don't want to go there. Supposedly Sheena's lawyer, Naima Rahmani, made some statement that didn't particularly sound very lawyerly. She said Levis's filing is a fabrication by a known liar and a treat who has betrayed everyone close to her. Sheena never punched Rachel, period. The supposed dark markings around her left eye have been there for months. Neither Sheena nor the cast members want anything to do with Rachel going forward. The judge is only one-sided account of what happened, and we look forward to presenting the full and true story in the March 29th hearing. So we should see where this goes. I do feel like this isn't a real lawyer. This is like Sheena who made a fake email account pretending to be a lawyer and was like, this is our statement, because I feel like no lawyer is just flat out saying she's a known liar and a cheat who's betrayed everyone close to her. Sheena never punched Rachel, period. Like, it just feels like a lawyer would say nothing. It's actually a better look to say nothing than to just spew out these statements, because, you know, it might come down to the situation. It might come down to a fact where they're like, she actually didn't punch Rachel, she slapped Rachel. It's a very big difference. Also, them using her birth name is hilarious. I do love that. So I don't know, people. I do see Dr. Drew in Sandy's future. I feel like he's going to be on like a celebrity rehab, couples rehab. Maybe like, I feel like in 6 years, Tom and Raquel will still be together. They'll definitely be running the circuit of sad reality TV shows, which honestly, I'm shocked that Jax hasn't really dipped his toe into that world just yet. I think he actually is going to be on some upcoming show now that I think of it, but I forgot what that is. And so I'll fill you guys in on that on another episode. One thing I did kind of have like a random flashback to was Sheena and Rob, when they were ending their relationship, said they were going to start some kind of company that helps divorced couples split up their assets, like physical assets. So I wonder if that ever took off, because Ariana and Tom will certainly be needing that. Good riddance, Tom. Ariana, go forth and conquer. Men, women, thems, the non-binary community, you got this. You have the world behind you. And hopefully Ariana kind of comes out with a little statement or something and lets the people know how she's doing, just so that we can kind of get a gut check. Because ultimately, at the end of the day, we talk about this like it's just silly fodder and bullshit that's happening on TV. But we are talking about people and their lives and livelihoods and careers and homes and deep relationships, that we again see this as like, you know, it's TV, it's fake, but you know, for them it is real. So I think, you know, poor Ariana is you know, not going to hear the end of this for a really long time. So hopefully she kind of comes out, lets us know how she's feeling, lets us know how she's thinking. And honestly, she has a podcast, so she should bring the show back and at least give us an update on her own terms. Again, I doubt producers are even going to let her be doing this because they've been filming, and obviously they want to keep things under wraps so that people watch the show, but let's see where this all goes. One thing I do know is that Grandma Buttons is really freaking disappointed in Raquel, as am I. I don't know what she's going to think about Sandoval. What's Raquel's dad going to do about Sandoval? He was so funny and adamant about not liking James that how is he ever going to like a guy like Sandoval, who is just a fake, disingenuous dickhead? Anyways, people, thank you so much for listening to Bravo Happy Hour. If you like the show, rate it, review it, do all those things. Like I said, send me an email. It's 2003. We don't do social media on this podcast anymore. There's no need for that. Thank you for listening. I appreciate it. Again, like I mentioned, next week's episode is amazing. We're going to do Summer House. We're going to do definitely a little VPR, Let's Be Real, and Southern Hospitality. Tune in. Thanks for listening. Bye.